Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about bowel cancer. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/bowelcancer or in the general surgery section of the Zero to Finals surgery book. So let's get straight into it. Bowel cancer is the fourth most prevalent cancer in the UK, behind breast, prostate, and lung cancer. Bowel cancer usually refers to cancer of the colon or the rectum. Small bowel and anal cancers are less common. First, let's talk about risk factors. There are a number of factors that increase the risk of colorectal cancer, and these are a family history of bowel cancer, familial adenomatous polyposis, or FAP, hereditary non-polyposis colorectal cancer, or HNPCC, which is also known as Lynch syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease, for example, Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, increasing age, diet, particularly high in red meat and processed meats, and low in fiber, obesity and a sedentary lifestyle, smoking, and alcohol. Familial adenomatous polyposis, or FAP, is an autosomal dominant condition which involves malfunctioning of the tumor suppressor genes called adenomatous polyposis coli, or APC. It results in many polyps, or adenomas, which develop along the large intestines. These polyps have the potential to become cancerous, usually before the age of 40. Patients have their entire large intestines removed prophylactically to prevent the development of bowel cancer, and this is called a panproctocolectomy. Hereditary non-polyposis colorectal cancer, or HNPCC, is also known as Lynch syndrome. This is an autosomal dominant condition as well that results from mutations in the DNA mismatch repair genes, or MMR genes. Patients are at a high risk of a number of cancers, particularly colorectal cancer. Unlike in FAP, the patient does not develop adenomas or polyps, and the tumors will develop in isolation. Let's talk about the presentation of bowel cancer. The red flags that should make you consider bowel cancer are a change in bowel habit, usually with more loose and frequent stools, unexplained weight loss, rectal bleeding, unexplained abdominal pain, iron deficiency anemia, which will cause a microcytic anemia with a low ferritin when you do blood tests, and an abdominal or a rectal mass on examination. The NICE guidelines for suspected cancer recognition and referral, which were last updated in January 2021, give various criteria for when a patient needs a two-week wait urgent cancer referral, and these depend on the patient's age and a combination of symptoms. For example, if the patient is over 40 with unexplained abdominal pain and unexplained weight loss, or if they're over 50 with unexplained rectal bleeding, or if they're over 60 with a change in bowel habit or iron deficiency anemia. Patients may present acutely with obstruction if a tumor blocks the passage through the bowel. This presents as a surgical emergency with vomiting, abdominal pain, and absolute constipation. A Tom tip for you, iron deficiency anemia on its own without any other explanation, for example, heavy menstrual bleeding, is an indication for a two-week wait urgent cancer referral for a colonoscopy and a gastroscopy. And this is sometimes referred to as top and tail because you need to put a camera in both ends. And this is to look for gastrointestinal malignancy. This is because gastrointestinal malignancy, such as bowel cancer or stomach cancer, can cause microscopic bleeding, which is not visible in the bowel movements, but eventually leads to an iron deficiency anemia. Next, let's talk about fecal immunochemical testing, or FIT, and the bowel cancer screening program. Fecal immunochemical tests, or FIT, look very specifically for the amount of human hemoglobin in the stool. FIT has replaced the older stool test, which was called fecal occult blood, or FOB, F-O-B, which detected blood in the stool but could give false positives by detecting blood from food, for example, rare steaks. The FIT tests can be used in general practice to assess for bowel cancer in specific patients who do not meet the criteria for a 2-week wait referral. For example, patients who are over 50 with unexplained weight loss and no other symptoms, or under 60 with a change in bowel habit. FIT tests are used for the bowel cancer screening program in England. In England, patients aged 60 to 74 years are sent a home FIT test to do every 2 years. If the results come back positive, they're sent for a colonoscopy. Patients with risk factors such as FAP, HNPCC, or inflammatory bowel disease are offered a colonoscopy at regular intervals to screen for bowel cancer. Let's talk about the investigations. A colonoscopy is the gold standard investigation for bowel cancer, and this involves an endoscopy or a camera inserted through the anus into the bowel to visualize the entire large bowel. Any suspicious lesions can be biopsied to get a histological diagnosis. Also, a tattoo can be injected into the lesion in preparation for surgery, marking out the abnormal area of bowel. A sigmoidoscopy involves an endoscopy of the rectum and the sigmoid colon only. This may be used in cases where the only feature is rectal bleeding. There is an obvious risk of missing cancers that are in other parts of the colon. A CT colonography is a CT scan which involves a bowel prep and a contrast used to visualize the colon in more detail. This may be considered in patients that are less fit for a colonoscopy, but it is less detailed than a colonoscopy and does not allow for a biopsy. A staging CT scan involves a full CT scan of the thorax, abdomen, and pelvis, often called a CT tap. And a staging CT scan may be used after a diagnosis of colorectal cancer to look for metastases, or as part of an initial workup in patients with vague symptoms, such as weight loss, in addition to a colonoscopy as an initial investigation to exclude other cancers that may be causing the symptoms. So, for example, if you have a patient who has unexplained weight loss, a colonoscopy and a CT scan may be used to look for bowel cancer and other types of cancers. Carcinoembryonic antigen, or CEA, is a tumor marker blood test for bowel cancer. CEA is not a helpful test in screening for bowel cancer, but it may be used for predicting whether the bowel cancer has come back in patients who have previously had bowel cancer and been treated. Next, let's talk about the Jukes classification. Jukes classification is the system previously used for classifying the stage of bowel cancer. It's now been replaced in clinical practice by the TNM classification, but you may still come across Jukes classification in older textbooks or question banks. A brief summary is Jukes A refers to bowel cancer confined to the mucosa and part of the muscle of the bowel wall. Jukes B is where the cancer extends through the muscle of the bowel wall. Jukes C is where there's lymph node involvement, and Jukes D is where there's metastatic disease. Let's talk about the TNM classification, which is the usual classification system for assessing bowel cancer. T stands for tumor. TX is where it's not possible to assess the size of the tumor. T1 is where there's submucosa involvement. T2 is where there's involvement of the muscularis propria, which is the muscle layer of the bowel. T3 is where there's involvement of the subserosa and the serosa, which is the outer layer of the bowel, but not through the serosa. And T4 is where there's spread through the serosa, which is 4A, or where it reaches the other tissues and organs, which is 4B. N stands for nodes, referring to the lymph node involvement. NX is where it's not possible to assess whether the nodes are involved. N0 is where there's no nodal spread. N1 is where it's spread to 1 to 3 nodes. And N2 is where it's spread to more than 3 nodes. And finally, M is for metastasis. M0 is where there's no metastasis, and M1 is where there is metastasis. Let's talk about management. After a patient has a diagnosis of bowel cancer, they're discussed at the Multidisciplinary Team Meeting, or MDT. The colorectal MDT involves surgeons, oncologists, radiologists, histopathologists, specialist nurses, and other healthcare professionals who all agree on the most appropriate management options for the individual patients. The choice of management depends on many factors, such as their clinical condition, their general health, the stage of the cancer, the histology, and the patient's wishes. The options for managing bowel cancer in any combination are surgical resection of the bowel cancer, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, or palliative care. Let's talk in more detail about surgical resection. The ideal scenario with bowel cancer is to surgically remove the entire tumour. Removal of a section of bowel affected by the tumour can potentially be curative. Surgery can also be used palliatively to reduce the size of the tumour and improve symptoms. Laparoscopic surgery, where it's possible, generally gives better recovery and fewer complications compared with open surgery. Robotic surgery is increasingly being used, which is essentially a more advanced laparoscopic procedure. Surgery involves identifying the tumour. It may have been tattooed during an endoscopy to make this easier. Removing the section of bowel that contains the tumour, and then creating an end-to-end anastomosis, which is where you take the two ends of bowel that were connected to the section that's been removed, and you sew them together to create a continuous intestinal tract. Alternatively, a stoma can be created, and this is where you bring the open section of bowel onto the skin. So let's talk about specific operations. A right hemicolectomy involves removal of the cecum, ascending, and proximal transverse colon. A left hemicolectomy involves removing the distal transverse and the descending colon. A high anterior resection involves removing the sigmoid colon, and this may also be called a sigmoid colectomy. A low anterior resection involves removing the sigmoid colon and upper rectum, but sparing the lower rectum and anus. An abdominoperineal resection, or APR, involves removing the rectum and the anus, plus or minus the sigmoid colon, and suturing over the anus, and this leaves the patient with a permanent colostomy. And a Hartmann's procedure is usually used as an emergency procedure, and it involves the removal of the rectosigmoid colon and the creation of a colostomy. The remaining rectal stump is sutured closed, and this colostomy may be permanent where the patient continues to have a stoma that drains the stools, or there may be a later procedure where the colostomy is reversed and the remaining colon is attached to the rectal stump. Common indications for a Hartmann's procedure are acute obstruction by a tumour or significant diverticular disease. Let's talk about the complications of bowel cancer surgery. There are a long list of potential complications of surgery for bowel cancer, including bleeding, infection and pain, damage to nerves, bladder, ureter or bowel, post-operative ileus, the risk from the anaesthetic. Patients going for laparoscopic surgery may find their operation is converted to an open surgery during the operation. If an anastomosis is created, there may be leakage or failure of the anastomosis. There may be requirement for a stoma that was not previously thought to be required. There may be failure to remove the tumour. There may be a change in bowel habit, venous thromboembolism such as a DVT or PE, incisional hernias at the site of the operation, and intra-abdominal adhesions may develop, particularly after open surgery. Let's talk about a very specific complication called low anterior resection syndrome. A low anterior resection syndrome may occur after resection of a portion of the bowel from the rectum, where it's necessary to create an anastomosis between the colon and the rectum. This can result in a number of symptoms, including urgency and frequency of bowel movements, fecal incontinence, and difficulty controlling flatulence. Finally, let's talk about follow-up. Patients will be followed up for a period of time, for example, 3 years after curative surgery for bowel cancer. And this includes monitoring the serum carcinoembryonic antigen, or CEA, and CT scans of the thorax, abdomen, and pelvis. So thanks for listening to this episode on bowel cancer. As always, a big thank you to Harry for perfectly editing the podcast, and I hope you join us for the next episode where we'll be talking about stomas.